Wonderful staff at Otago Baptist. Miss Kay, you know, you play so beautifully for us every week, and Leslie does such a great job, and Trey does such a good job as helping out with the ministry. But there was one other birthday that I skipped right over. She was hiding right behind Miss Patsy, and I didn't even get to see her.
Special one.
Miss Carolyn Falk had a birthday. When was it?
Yesterday
was the day. Y'all make sure y'all wish that sweet lady a happy birthday too. That's right. It's good to be good to see you in the house of the Lord, Miss Teresa.
And this sweet lady's birthday, her whole Sunday school class was invited to a party for her, and her Sunday school class is 100%.
Oh, amen. Good job. Yes. All right. It is good to have each and everybody here this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 this morning is where we're going to be. And Trey, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I've missed opportunities too, my friend. I've missed them. And they've been so in front of my face, and God was saying, go, go, go. And I was saying, no, no, no. And I know exactly what you're talking about. Where it came, you know what? Fear took me over. I was scared of rejection most times when I chalked it up, and when I confessed my sin later to God and told him exactly, I told him exactly why I was scared. Lord, I did not feel equipped. I wasn't ready. I didn't know what to say. What if they said something back and I wasn't able to answer the question right? All these thoughts flooded through my mind. But remember, each and every person in here today who's a proclaiming Christian has been in that boat at least one time. I know you have if you think back hard enough. Today, this actually ties into my scripture. Because today, I want to tell y'all something. We're going to talk about intimate fellowship with God is what we're going to talk about. And there is a Greek word for it called, and I pray that I am saying this word exactly right, koinonia. That is the Greek word for intimate fellowship, koinonia. So y'all keep that in mind as I say it today, and that's the meaning of the word, intimate fellowship with Christ, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 3 right there. Let's get in our Bibles, okay? Let's read God's word together today, and let's just love him, and let's just praise him for the God that he is, the God of answered prayers. And Lord, we're going to praise you because you're going to give us those opportunities to witness even more and more. We might not always hit a home run every time, but maybe we can get a single out of it. How about that? Amen? At least get something out there, and it looks like you got a lot out there. Is what it sounds like, so I wouldn't be too hard. But let's look at what Paul says right here at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I'm going to open up with verse 1 through 4, okay? God's word said, "Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ." 2 says, "I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and there's quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? For when one says, 'I follow Paul,' and another says, 'I follow Apollos,' are you not mere human beings?" The church of Corinth right there is getting confused about who they're following. So now is Paul, and now is Apollos, and Cephas is also mentioned in there too, which is Peter. They're getting confused about who they're following, and they have kind of, they're getting to where they're following the person and not following Jesus Christ. Keep that in mind. That's who we're following. Do you realize that when we come in God's house today, that we are serving Christ? All I am is a messenger. All I am is a servant. That's it. A servant. That I thank God every time I get to stand before you and preach. When we got done yesterday, I came right in here and I prayed for today's service. I prayed for each and every person that was going to be here today, that they had a question on their mind, whatever it may be, that they may resolve it today with Christ. Because we learn, I did a funeral yesterday, and we learn that life is precious. It is precious, and it is not precious.
You should not take advantage of it because we are not guaranteed tomorrow. We're not, period. So when we think about koinonia, we think about that intimate fellowship with God. And it comes through reading God's word and by spending time in prayer. Only God, through his Holy Spirit, can create and sustain koinonia. Only he can do that for us. Now, we as God's people, we're all a church, right? Each and every one of them, you have a function in this church. We are a living organism. We are. We grow is what we do. That's our whole point. It's not to remain stale. It's to grow and to flourish is what it's doing. We introduce new things. We're praying this Good Friday service is going to be exactly what God wanted, because we can invite the other churches. We can come together as a community. We can expand. We sit in here today, maybe 80 people. Hopefully we have 140. I mean, whatever the case may be, invite someone. Tell them about Jesus. That would be the main point of it, is to grow and to flourish. My first point today, when we talk about that koinonia, is we must love God with everything we have. Self, anything, and everything we must love him with. But sometimes in our Christian walks, we can tend to get a little stale. We can. Let me tell you about Fred and Ethel. I can't help it. I'm going to have to share. So there was this couple, Fred and Ethel, and they've been married for 50 plus years, and they're good people. They go to church, but they had kind of reached that age where they really didn't hold hands a lot or anything. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So Fred and Ethel love to go to the state fair every single year. Every single year. And Ethel was tight with her money. She was. It's okay. I mean, there's a lot of us. I mean, I'm tight. I don't know about Kyle Carter tight, but yeah, I'm nowhere near that. Yeah, I like Altoids and stuff. I buy them. But anyway, so I give you the picture. Ethel used to go home and shine her pennies. You know what I mean? One of those, okay? And so every year, Fred, all he wanted to do was ride this helicopter. They had it at the state fair. It was a wonderful thing. And Ethel said, and he'd always walk up to the man. He said, well, how much is a helicopter ride this year? And he said, it's $5 a person. And he'd always go back to Ethel, and he said, Ethel, it's just $5 to ride the helicopter today. Can we go for a ride? And she said, no, absolutely not. $5 is $5, and that's just too much money to spend. So, old Fred had kicked the ground, and, she ain't going to let me ride. But the pilot overheard them talking, and he walked up to them, and he said, I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, y'all seem like a sweet couple. Been married for years. Yes, we have, 50 plus years. And I understand, the man said, I understand, $5 is $5. He says, so what do I tell you what I'll do? He goes, I'm going to give you a ride for free. Oh, and Fred's smile just came across his face, but he said, this is the deal. If you don't say a word during the entire flight, you won't owe me a dime. But if you scream, holler, giggle, laugh, you pay me for the ride. And Fred and Ethel said, Fred, you better keep your mouth shut. He said, yes, I will. Because $5 is $5. It's expensive to do this. And so he said, come on, let's do it. So they got up on the helicopter, didn't have to pay a dime, and he put them right there in the back, and he took off, and man, he went to the left and as hard as he could, and he went to the right, and he didn't hear a word out of the back. And he almost, they said, he almost turned a flip upside down, and he was just going all which directions, up and down, never a word. And when the flight ended, he came back to the fair. He turned around and he said, where's Ethel? Fred said, she fell out in the first 5 minutes. He said, why didn't you say something? He said, $5 is $5. Don't you be that stale with your relationship with Christ. You know what I'm talking about, people, because $5 is $5. Y'all got to go with it. Y'all got to be intimate. We need that koinonia in our lives is what we need. We need that intimate relationship. Look at what 5 through 9 says right there. And look at those, figure out what Paul says. He says, what after all is Apollos? And what is Paul? We're only servants. He listed that right there. Servants through whom you came to believe. As the Lord has assigned each his task, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. It's just our jobs to plant the seeds. That's it. We're not responsible. That is when you accept Christ, when you have that personal relationship, that is a personal decision between you and the Lord. That is what that is. We want to see those life change. When Chris Capps, and I got to hear him speak again yesterday, and I was so impressed. I was like, that man is growing into a godly man. He is. And when you see it happening right in front of your face, and when you know that it all started with their son, and you see how, you see the steps of progression, if you stand back and you look over the situation like I have done, you'll see that God's hand's been moving the entire time across his family. And God moves across our families too. Let me tell you something. When I was, everybody knows that I I loved football when I was a kid. I played a lot of it, and I wasn't half bad. I wasn't the best, but I loved to knock heads. I was pretty good at that. Loved to hit people. And one night I'd broke my leg playing ball. And, you know, I was really, really, first of all, my parents were scared that I was going to fall into a depression. I'm giving you the second phase of the story. I've already told you how I broke my leg and all that story. This is the second phase after Michael's come home, and Michael's in a cast now. And Michael doesn't get to no longer do the things that he once loved to do. And Michael doesn't understand why this has happened to him and how the doctor said it was a freak accident. We don't even know how this happened. But you know, God set my leg back perfectly that night without them having to touch me. And they were able to bandage it and send me home. So we move on to phase two, where you don't understand and we're not sure what happened. But you know what? I never got depressed. You know what I told myself? That wasn't God's plan for me. Do you know where that came from? The foundation my mother and father had laid for me through bringing me up. I had a foundation to fall back on. You're fixing to see that in the scriptures right here. We know that Christ is the head of the church. In order to receive, in order to reach koinonia like we're supposed to. We have to have the right foundation, people. And it is built on Jesus Christ and nothing else. That's your foundation. It starts right there. Paul goes on to tell you, look at what he says. Let me pick back up. He said, I planted the seed, Apollo picked it up at 7. So neither one who plants nor the waters, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one whose waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarding to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field. You are God's building is what you are. When we're able to come together, look at what 10 says. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wild builder, as a wise builder, not a wild one, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ, is what he says. Second point right there, Christ is the head of the church, is what we've got to remember. Last week, I mentioned something to you that I felt a little convicted about when I said the number 1,000. Apparently, that drew a response because I had a couple of phone calls this week. And they said, well, do you really want to see the church hit 1,000? It's not that I want to see that there's 1,000 people in here. I want whoever God wills to be in here is who I want. That's not that. I'm just meaning we have the capability. with the people in this area. That's all I'm saying. If you look at the population, you go down to that river. I've been close. There's houses everywhere, and I'm pretty sure people live in them. That's all I'm saying. I don't think they're vacant. Or either they got nice boats out front, Miss Kay. We might have to go pick us one out. That's what I'm saying. I'm just saying there's a potential. There's the people around this area. And if you even put a 10-mile circle around a Toggleville Baptist, how many people do you think that is? That's all I'm saying. I want to be here. I wrote this down just so I wouldn't mess with you. I want what God wants for this church. That's what I want. That's my prayer. God's will, not any of ours. It ain't God's will. It's not the chairman or the deacon's will. It's God's will is what we want for us in this church. We want to be that living organism that grows. We want to have that pure fellowship with Christ is what we want to have. And that's when Patsy did that plug for Wednesday nights. That's exactly what is happening. You are being able, come, join us. It will be a wonderful experience. And we will experience to God together is what we will do. So please, try to make plans. Look at the rest of 15 right there, what he says. Let me pick it up with verse 12. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light, Paul says. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. Well, if it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. We must experience God, third point, in a real, in a personal way. When I broke my leg, and that second thing, when my parents were praying for me that I wouldn't slip into a depression, God's grace covered me. That's what I'm telling you. I never did. I chalked it up and said that wasn't his plan. That wasn't in the cards for me. So I moved my eyes. Where am I supposed to be, Lord? And believe it or no, as much as I rebelled during that time, as much as I didn't want to be to church, I still prayed every night. I still talked to God because I knew who he was. I knew he was Alpha Omega. I knew he was beginning and end. I knew that. I prayed for everything. Can I share something personal with y'all today? You can laugh if you want to. I used to pray for sweet dreams. I did. I do not like nightmares. I was the kid who had, if I had to wake up in the middle of the night, I thought that dude was under my bed. And if I did not jump 6 foot or more off the bed, he was going to grab my ankles and snatch me under. But you have to remember, my sister's here, and she made me watch that Michael Jackson Thriller video when I was little, and that really scared me. That's the truth. Yeah, oh God, I'm going to have nightmares tonight. That's funny. Y'all get it. I know everybody's in there seeing that video. It'll give you the heebie-jeebies. That's all I'm saying. It's bad. It's bad juju. You don't want it. Trust me. I'll tell you the next time when I've experienced God in a personal way, when I was called into the ministry. And God laid his hand on me when I was in Mobile, Alabama, and I was in that car, and I was just praising him and thanking him. And I pulled the car over, and I prayed. And I felt him speak to me. I felt him speak through the Holy Spirit. And he talked to me, and he told me, he said, I need you on mission for me. And I said, God, I don't have it all together. He reminded me quick, Michael, I don't call the equipped, I equip the called. You got to remember that in your life too, that you might not think you're in the most perfect place to serve, to be on mission for Christ. You never will be. You just got to surrender. And you say, God, I'm yours. But you got to give it all to him, though. I want you to give it to him through. I want you to give it to him through your finances, through your time, through everything. I want you to surrender to him, and then he'll be ready to use you. Do you know what Christ requires of us? You know what he asks of us? What's he say, Leslie? Take up thy cross daily and follow me. Take up thy cross daily. Give it all to him is what you're going to do. That's what Paul's saying right there. And the next set right there, where am I at? Jump over 16 right there. He says, don't you know that you yourself are God's temple? Look how powerful those words are. And that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person, for God's temple is sacred, and you together are that temple. That we as a church are God's temple, we as individuals are God's temple too. You are a temple to Christ. You are that temple. He says, when we must experience God in a real and a personal way, we all have that foundation that has to be laid. We must completely trust in God. Look at what 18 says. Do not deceive yourselves. If any of you think you are wise by the standard of this age, you should become fools so that you may become wise. Paul says, deny everything you thought you knew that made you wise and just follow Christ. Be wise by his standards, not the worldly standards. I personally don't care if you have the latest and greatest iPhone. That is not going to make you smarter. If you have a flip phone, you're the same intelligence level. I promise you. You just don't get into the electronics. I get it. That's all I'm saying. When you think about that word, though, he says, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. As it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are futile. So then, no more boasting about human leaders. All things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours. And you are of Christ, and Christ is of God. You have to have that love relationship with Jesus. Do not go through the motions. Don't do it. You will go nowhere. You will be spinning your wheels. Pray. Talk to him. Ask him what he can do. Ask him what you can do for Christ. Turn that around. Talk to him in that real, that intimate and personal way. We gave away these little keys to powerful prayer handling. We got more, right, Patsy? We got more. We hope we do. But we've got some that we had given away. But in here, right here on page 58, it says, this is, look, as iron sharpens iron, so man sharpens the countenance of his friends, Proverbs 27. Seven ways I should relate to people in my life. Let's listen to this real quick. Lord, help me to relate with others with love. Lord, help me to relate to others with affection. Lord, help me to relate to others with compassion. Lord, help me to relate to others with care. Lord, help me to relate to others with a servant's heart. Lord, help me to relate to others with forgiveness and kindness. And Lord, help me to relate to others with peace. Mark 9:50 says, salt is good, but if the salt loses its flavor, how will you season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace with one another. You have to have that love relationship with Jesus, not just going through the motions. We see Paul warning the church right here that you must completely trust in God. Never think of yourself more highly than you ought to, because 1 John 4:7-8 says, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. You can trust Him today. You can trust Him with your money. You can trust Him with your time. You can trust Him with your feelings. You can trust Him with your hearts. You can trust Him with your hurts. With everything. With all you got. What do you think? What do you sense God is saying about your relationship with Him today? Are you striving? Are you hurting? Do you need more time? Do you need to pray more? What's God laying on your heart today? What is that relationship, that intimate relationship with Christ? Are we praying enough? Are we doing what we're supposed to do? Are we like Fred and Ethel? Are we stale? Remember, the church is a living organism, flourishing, growing. We don't want to be stuck on milk. We want to move on to solid food, growing in Christ. If I've said something to your heart today, when we do our invitation, come down to the altar and pray. Come to me and pray. I could have many deacons as you need up here to pray with, whatever the case may be. Or maybe you just want a time by yourself. Or let me know that I can pray for you, whatever may be on your heart. Or maybe God's laid a decision on your heart today. Maybe you're ready to accept Christ for the first time. Maybe you are. That's your walk. That's your time. But just like Trey told us, don't miss out on those opportunities when you know the Holy Spirit saying, go, go, go. Let's close today. Lord Jesus, thank you, God, for this sweet time. Thank you, God, for these sweet people. God, we want to be that living organism for you, dear God. A special prayer over each and every person that is in here today, each and every family that is represented. Father God, I pray, Lord, that we be your instruments this week, God, that you use us, dear God, in a mighty way. Dear Lord, that you help us, Father God, to grow, that you help us to grow closer to you, Father God, that, Lord, those opportunities, if we miss them, God, we move past them, Lord. We know, Father God, that we are a sinful people. And Father God, we know that we serve you, dear God, and that you have us, that you are the ultimate, the Alpha, the Omega, beginning and end, the perfect, Father God. I pray, Lord, that you will watch over us as a church. Everyone we mentioned on our prayer list, dear God, lift them up to you, dear Lord, each and every family. God, be with us, Father God, in these next weeks, Father, as we grow closer to you. Thank you, God, for our time, dear Lord. And God, I ask, Lord, for every visitor that was in here this morning, bless that family, Father God, and it is so good to have them here in the house. But Lord, this is your house, and we know that. Lord, we love you and we thank you. It is through your Son, Jesus Christ's name, that I pray. Amen.